reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, January 11th, 2022. And I'm very pleased and excited. I have two special guests in the studio, a new friend, which I'll formally introduce in just a second, and an older friend, I guess, three or four years now.
Correct.
You serve currently as our board chair for this radio ministry. And I think we've had you on a time or two in the last few years, but God's doing some new things in your life. So it just worked out well last Thursday at our Ministry Leaders Network luncheon. You and John and I got to talk a little bit, and I said, would you be available for Testimony Tuesday? And Pastor John says, sure, you know, however you can use me. I kind of have I won't say a boring testimony, but he said that there wasn't a whole big transition or like God redeemed me out of this great sin or anything. And so I'll introduce John in just a moment. But he said, sure, I can be available for Testimony Tuesday. And then Juan, I said, can you be a part of it also, because God has a new thing going on in your life? And all three of us got to talk and pray and share, and we prayed over you last Thursday. And so first, before I introduce our special guest on Testimony Tuesday, Juan, what's God got going on in your life?
Well, you know, it's been a pleasure living here in Champaign. And as I look back on the day that you and I met, like I said, it's just been a wonderful experience, Mark. We've shared a kindred spirit. We love Jesus. We love to listen to the Holy Spirit. And then we drop what we're doing, and then we do the Lord's business. And when we came together, that's exactly what we did. We dropped what we were doing, and we started to do the Lord's business together. And we started this wonderful ministry, the Ministers Network, and now you are running with it, and you're doing such a wonderful job with it. And praise God for that. God, we're seeing the fruits of your labor, and I thank God for you. Also, for me right now, God is redirecting my life, and he is moving me from a full-time position of a pastor to a full-time position as a chaplain, part-time maybe pastor at a church in Fort Wayne. But I'm moving there because God is leading me there.
Yeah.
God is redirecting my life. And as John, you mentioned, you said, to everything under the sun, there is a season. That wonderful evangelist wrote that down in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And God just redirected my life. And he's saying, Juan, I brought you here for a time and a season, and now the season has ended. I'm moving you now to Fort Wayne. And I'm just so thrilled about this. I'm excited about it. My wife is excited about it. And I'm just so thankful to have met John. John, what a wonderful, wonderful devotion you shared with us last Thursday. That was amazing. You spoke truth to not only to myself, but to all the other pastors here. You're an amazing man. I'm just so privileged to have met you. And I thank you, brother, for laboring in the Lord and all the years of ministry that you poured yourself into.
Now, Juan, you already know this, but usually it's about 5 to 7, sometimes 10 minutes into the program before I officially introduce our special guest. But as Juan mentioned, he was my keynote speaker, if you will, last Thursday at the Ministry Leaders Network. And as I was praying up, Lord, who could you raise up to encourage pastors, to equip them, to bless them as we would gather and have a nice luncheon the first Thursday of every month? And I was sharing this with my Pinnacle small group a few weeks back, and Doug Schroeder goes, I have the person for you. And he just spoke highly of this individual named John McIntosh, who is a pastor, who continues to be a pastor. He's kind of retired, but he's one of those free agents for Jesus where a couple different churches, I think currently one in Pisotum and in Shiloh, where he still delivers messages and cares for the flock and teaches and loves on people. But Doug said, Mark, he's a great storyteller. He's an encourager. And that's what I was thinking. That's what we need for these pastors and ministry leaders, somebody to come in to give some tips and advice and just re-encourage them and empower them to remember their roots or some of the techniques or tools that maybe they've put to the side. And so, John, thank you for joining us last Thursday. It was great because as I sat back and observed everyone paying attention, it was really quiet for a period of time. And then as John, with his personality and his temperament and his sharing, had him laughing and encouraged and yet shared some heartfelt messages and the struggles that many pastors and ministry leaders had to deal with. And with your 40 plus years of experience being a pastor and given back to the community. I think I had two pages of information on them, all the different volunteer efforts and ministerial alliances and different things he's been a part of all throughout Illinois. In fact, when John came and looked at our 19 frequencies, he said, yes, I've served there. Oh, yeah, Beardstown, Whitehall, very familiar with that. Oh, Carlinville, yes, been down there, pastored here. And so, John, you were highly recommended, and you delivered a great message for our pastors and ministry leaders. And I said, could you be available for Testimony Tuesday? And you said, sure, I'm a willing vessel. And so thank you for joining us today, and thank you for last Thursday sharing with these pastors and even blessing Juan and myself. And I know a number of people stayed around just to talk with you. So on this Testimony Tuesday, if you don't mind, share a little of that journey coming to the U of I and how God worked and then put you in the situation where you wanted to be like your dad and be a part of ministry.
Well, I'm happy to talk about how I came to ministry. But first, I think I need to say that what a blessing for me to make a friendship with you, Mark. And I feel like I've got a stolen treasure by getting to meet Juan just before he leaves town. And happy to share about where you're going, a great community. And so you've blessed this community. I know you'll bless that community. And for me, wonderful friendships and excited to get acquainted with this ministry. Mm-hmm. God bless you for what you're doing.
And though you were a speaker last Thursday, our next meeting in February, it's always the first Thursday, you're always invited.
Great.
And,
great. And you got it.
Consider being a part of it in the
future.
You've
got a great resource coming, too.
Yeah.
I don't view my story as particularly dramatic. You know, I came to the University of Illinois to study architecture. I remember sitting with a guidance counselor who said you had very high math scores, mechanical aptitude scores. You should be an engineer. And I said, I want to be an artist. And my father sat there and watched me and the guidance counselor argue, and the compromise was architecture. And so at that time, very few schools offered the curriculum in architecture. So I came to the University of Illinois to study architecture and then kind of drifted into finance and have a degree in banking and investment. And at the end of the time in college, like many, many young people, you know, you start to do some searching and maturing. It's basically, what am I going to be when I grow up? So I started to do some soul searching. My college room had a really ugly green couch. I did a lot of praying on that. And as you mentioned, my father was a pastor, and he really found his work in Clinton, Illinois, meaningful. And I noticed that as his son, that he really, really found it meaningful. He was excited about being a pastor, and I thought, that's what I want my life to be, meaningful. And something I feel good about. And it was a conscious decision to add meaning and purpose to my life, but also recognizing the spiritual deprivation I was experiencing. Not really dramatic, but just something was not there. And I made a decision to recapture my spiritual life, my relationship with God, and a great, great experience, a privilege to go to seminary, have your time devoted to learning about the scriptures, reading the great theologians, and being with other people who are committed to ministry. It was a privilege for me to go there. It wasn't always easy. A lot of late night study sessions, and even in seminary, some soul searching and growing. Anyway, went into the ministry because I wanted my life to be have meaning and purpose and value. A phrase I've kind of picked up from somebody else was practical divinity. Something happens because of your faith. Somebody's life is better. Your life is better. So anyway, I'll quit there. I'll stop talking there for a little bit. But that's just how I came into ministry, a combination of examples and prayer and being aware of the deprivation and absence.
And I appreciate when you were storytelling, saying that you wanted to make a difference in people's lives, and what you were exhorting these pastors and ministry leaders in the different ways they can do that, with listening skills, with being solid or not emotionally overwhelmed by a situation. You used the term where, you know, when everyone else is anxious or there's anxiety, you want to be that poor or,
oh, sure.
Share a little of that.
The non-anxious presence.
Okay.
And any leader needs to be the non-anxious presence. And the other phrase is to be self-differentiated. If you're going to be a leader in any circumstance, and it could be the pastor of a church, it could be people who have accepted God's call to be leader as a layperson within a church, you know, it's an anxious time, and people want quick fixes. You know, this is what the gospel tells us. God works in a natural time and setting, has seasons, and healing always takes time. And in a quick fix society, people want things now. And it's not always that way. And faith teaches us to endure. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to be the leader, you need not to be conductive to that anxious energy. You know, you need not to be copper, you need to be ceramic.
Yeah.
So, and that all comes from a far more gifted writer and speaker than me.
I like when you also share in your testimony that you came to a point where there's maybe a void or there was some emptiness sensed. And Juan, I know for many people that are even maybe tuned in today, they're going to work or they're on their way to school or to their job or whatever. They may have that sense of, what is the purpose of life? Why am I here? They may have never entertained the idea that God loved them, that he cared, that there is really value and meaning and purpose in their life. So that person that's like tuned in, maybe scanning the dial, and they're like, oh, John sounds like an interesting person. He sounded like me in college where he was going after a career or vocation and going to make some money and then did some soul searching. What would you say to that person, Juan, that's maybe soul searching, or maybe they don't even know they're soul searching, but they know there's an emptiness that's not filled?
I know that there's a lot of people like that right now. And I know that if you're listening to this right now, friend, and wherever you are, if you're at a stoplight, if you're driving on the highway, if you're at home, in your living room, wherever you are right now, I want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you. And if you were the only person left here on earth, he would have came down just for you and died on the cross for you. And listen, friend, we've all had voids. I had one myself growing up. I had an empty void, and I tried to fill it up with all kinds of worldly things, friends, women, you know, even booze or whatever when I was younger, living a wild life. But I want you to know that when that void was filled in my life, it was filled by Jesus Christ. It was him that filled that, and I felt a peace, a love like I've never felt before in my life. The day I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to give you one good try. And we've both been to, all of us been to university. And there's an old saying, I will give you one good college try. But for me, it was, God, I will give you, I'll give you a 100% try. And God did not fail me. God blessed me, and he's given me a purpose, and he's given me a value in my life that I never had before.
Right on, Juan. That's exactly right. Because people who have a spiritual deprivation may not recognize that, because in a relationship with God, there's always going to be an element of mystery. We can measure, you know, this is a gallon of milk, this is a bushel of grain. We can measure a lot of things, we can see it, but the spirit is invisible.
That's right.
And so if you're not paying attention to your spiritual life, if you're not feeding it, and this is what Jesus said, here, I am the bread of life, and here, you drink the water I have, and you'll never thirst
again.
That's
right.
And that's how powerful the spiritual need is. This is how we're made. God made us to be in a relationship with God, that hunger, that thirst. And I've compared it to, if you're really hungry for good nutrition and you open a bag of chips and eat all those chips, you're still hungry because you need nutrition. And if you feed your spiritual life with substance or process or things that are not a relationship with God. And this is what Jesus was after. He wanted us to have the relationship that he had with his Father.
That's right.
That intimate relationship. Abba, Father, that relationship, that life-giving, that eternal life-giving relationship. This is what Jesus is after. Follow me, and I will take you there.
Exactly.
And, Juan, you're right. People fill that hole the wrong way, and it can be so destructive.
It can. It can.
Yeah.
In case you just tuned in, we have two special guests in the studio here. It's the first time I've had two guests at the same time at our new studio here at Marketplace Mall in Champaign. Mariana and I have done a few broadcasts from here, and I think we had Rob Seidenberg one time, but you're my first official guest, Pastor John and Pastor Juan. So if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org under the Mark and Friends link. But we began the program citing 2 Corinthians 4:1, which states, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. And John, you were sharing with many of the ministry leaders last Thursday, you know, not to lose heart, to persevere, to be that vehicle, that conduit that God uses to bring hope and healing, to be a good listening ear, but to be an active agent and not to give up. And I'm thinking of this verse, you know, when you proclaim God's mercy to these different people, you don't lose heart because you know there can be restitution or there can be redemption or healing brought about. So what have you seen in these many years as God's love gets conveyed and understood by an individual?
Well, that's not a short list.
Yeah, that's right.
You know. But the one thing I want to say to any listener is this is God's intention for you. God intends for you to be healed and to
That's
be whole
right. mm-hmm.
in every way. God intends for you to be healed and to be whole because the instinctive desire for healing and wholeness is there. I've seen it in people who have a sickness or have an injury or have a broken relationship or some people that are self-destructive or destructive of other people. I've seen people in hurtful situations, and they instinctively, they want to be better, and they want to get out of a dysfunctional relationship to someone that treats them more healthy. I mean, I've seen that God has made us in such a way. You should look at the human body, which God created and is wonderful. Look how it has an instinctive desire to heal. And this is God's intention that you'd be healed. And I've seen marriages put back together.
Mm.
I've seen people get stronger from very desperate illnesses or injury. I've seen people get clean and sober. I've seen people capture a path that is what you really truly believe. This is what God intends for you, to be healed, to be whole. And for many people, it's a spiritual healing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once again, you're a beloved child of God. Once again, to know that.
You know, the scripture tells us, for I know the plans I have for you. Plans not to harm you, but to give you hope in the future. And friend, if you're listening today, I don't know where you're at right now. If you're in a broken relationship, you feel like you missed the boat, I want to let you know that it's not too late, that Jesus Christ has a hope for you, and that He will direct you to that wonderful place where He wants you to be. You will find healing, you will find hope, you will find joy, and you will find the love that you've been longing for.
Yeah, I think you mentioned this again last Thursday, John, but I think it's important for our listeners to be aware of how many of us have a broken self-esteem, or we look at ourselves and we see our flaws and we then take on addictions, or we just don't recognize how valued we are, how individually God's made us unique and different from everyone else, and that He's built into us special gifts and plans and purposes, yet oftentimes many people fail to see that.
Yeah, I think I want to pick up on something Juan said a little earlier about how if you were the last person on earth, Jesus would still come for you. This is the greatness of God. God knows each one of us. This is the greatness of God. Most of us, we can keep track of what, 20, 30, maybe 40, I don't know. You look at your contact list in your phone and like, wait, whose name is that?
Yeah.
And
like our Facebook friends. Oh, I don't even know that person. They're your friend on Facebook.
And so we assume that God is limited like us, but this is the greatness of God. God is mindful of each one of us.
That's right.
God is wanting to hear your prayers.
That's
and
right.
God cares about your life. This is the greatness of God,
mm-hmm.
that God knows each one of His children. And what we know is that people with strong self-esteems make less at-risk decisions, bad relationships, the use of substances. We know that. And so this is a message of the gospel. You are a beloved child of God, mm-hmm. first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And when you wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, you see a beloved child of God.
Mm-hmm.
And any other message is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But we live in a culture that says you have to be pretty, you have to be this kind of figure, you have to have this kind of gifts, you mm-hmm. have to have this many followers. That's not God's message.
Right.
You know, God's message is you, who I have given life, you who the spirit of life is beating within
mm.
you are God's beloved child.
Yeah.
And this is how God is present. It's that very drive for life that's intrinsic. And God is with you, and God wants you to be transformative and meaningful in your life. And so this is why self-image based upon the spiritual life and what God sees in you is so important.
Mm.
You have to hear that message first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree 100% with what you're saying. The message that we hear from God is always going to be, you know what, you're worth it. You know what, you're the reason why I came. You know what, I love you this much that I was willing to spread my arms from one end of the cross to the other end and bleed and die for you. We go to counselors. We go to doctors. We go to psychiatrists, and we go to all these other earthly means, when the answer is right there in the wonderful book that we call the Bible, and the answer is there, and his name is Jesus Christ. And all we have to do is just read those wonderful words of life that are prescribed for us, and when we accept them into our life and we apply them into our life, friend, I'm going to tell you the truth, you're going to be transformed, and you're going to be transformed from the inside out. And no matter what you look like, how tall you are, how big you are, because if you were to look at me, you know, you probably see a short, bald, Hispanic, you know, a fat guy, but
with a friendly face,
but, and pretty strong. And if you need your house moved, you call on Juan.
But in eyes of God, you are a loved child. God loves you. And it doesn't matter where you come from, if you're from the poorest side of town or the richest side of town, or if you're from the country or if you're from the north, God loves you. Just remember that. And when you look at yourself in the mirror, say, I am a child that is loved by God.
This is the beauty of the gospel. It's for every human being.
Yeah.
This is the beauty of the gospel. And this is why it broke into the Roman world and set it on fire, because it was not classist, it was not racist, it was for every human being.
That's right. Yeah.
And the human heart knows that's true. The human heart knows we're all the same, and the human heart wants to hear, you are our God's child.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to add this. There is no point in a human life, and it may be you, it may be somebody you're praying for, you're worrying about, there's no point in the human life that is beyond God's desire and capacity to redeem.
That's right.
If there's a stirring in your heart and you're thinking, I want to know this God that I don't know right now, let me give you an 800 number. There's great folks that can answer your questions about faith, about who is Jesus, can you trust God's word, what it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. It's a free call, and they'll answer any of your questions, and they'll also pray with you. So we would encourage that, especially today, if you're wondering, who is this God? Who is this Jesus that they're talking about? 1-888-NEED-HIM. Well, we're out of time. Well, I guess there's more time, but SRN News won't wait, and we got to go. But thank you, Pastor John. John McIntosh was in the studio with me today, along with Pastor Juan Laredo, who's currently serving as our board chair. And we might have you back before you move to Indiana, and we'll talk more about this radio ministry. But thanks, guys, for being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends. Thanks for listening. And this is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.